join the Patreon to join the conversation. I have so many amazing guests on here that you're probably already following on Instagram or TikTok. So you might as well jump on here and talk to us, ask your very own questions, and you can get access to one-on-one coaching with me through the Patreon. Sign up. The link is in the show notes.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?
Now today we have an author in the house. Her name is Nancy Ganz. And I'm going to have her introduce herself and then we'll jump right into conversation. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Mr. Chaz. So as you said, my name is Nancy Ganz and I'm an author of the new book, Tina Searches for Her Dream, which is the first book in an upcoming collection of 12 books, all that will be working to help teach empathy, self-love, confidence. And I'm also a parenting and executive coach. But my love and passion is really on the parenting children side.
Love it, love it. And we're going to focus mostly here on how to instill confidence and courage in young children. But first, so I want to just share kind of my experience with the book. I have, you know, something that is very unique about this book is that it comes in, and for people will be able to see who are watching this in video, comes in kind of three different forms. And you'll notice that there are different skin colors of the main character. I want to ask, why did you decide? What was the thought process behind that?
My daughter, Sarah, is my business partner, as well as my daughter. And both of us have always felt that diversity is important throughout literature. So as you notice from the books, there are diverse characters throughout. Mm-hmm. But we also think that it's really important that people be able to see themselves as the lead. You know, I always say you're the executive of your own life, take the lead. Yeah. Well, you need to see yourself as the lead, you know, because you're such an expert with children that when they see what's possible, they make it happen. Mm. So, and kids, when kids look at a book, they don't just see it as this flat thing that you're turning pages. They see it as a movie. Their imaginations take off, which is why I use spreads. If you actually put left, right, it doesn't work as well. But if it's a spread, their imaginations take over and they dive in and they see this movie in their minds. And they actually choose, this character is me, or that character is me, or this is how I want to act, or this is what I would have done. Mm-hmm. And they actually play a simultaneous movie about themselves as they're being read to. So I wanted them to be able to say, I'm Tina.
So let me ask you my first question. How do you instill confidence and courage in very young children?
Well, what's interesting is that very young ones actually have a lot of confidence and courage. Because real confidence comes from trying and doing something that you're not familiar with. You don't really know how to do yet. You haven't really tried it yet. So for an adult, it might be taking a harder course or really jumping into a harder project. And then once you've done it, you go, I did it. I can do it. So kids are actually operating that way all day long because they're learning and exploring and experimenting and doing and out there. Every time they put their head on the pillow, they're more advanced than they were when they woke up, and it will be the next day and the next day. So they're always in, I can, I will, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They're always in that mode. So the key is really, how do we help to nurture that and steer away from the obstacles? And it starts with kind of what I was saying earlier about the soul. It's separating who the child is from their behavior and what they do. And when you do that and really focus on who's this glorious soul being that I have in my life, who has this unique expression, unique creativity, unique everything. And then as you focus on that, you can just remember that is the same person that you saw as a newborn that was just lying there doing nothing other than being, and you had complete unconditional love. That's still the person before you, regardless what they're doing, regardless of, you know, how they're behaving. So that's the person. And then we want to make sure that we're, again, helping to focus on that. And I was thinking earlier today about how around 4 or 5, kids get so obsessed with rainbows, right? You can go anywhere in the world and walk into a kindergarten class and you will see kids with their crayons coloring rainbows. And I think the kids are really onto something there, because our chakras match and mirror the 7 colors of the rainbow exactly. The base chakra is red, then orange, then yellow, which is right here, which really has to do with our identity, then green, our heart chakras, blue, that beautiful communication, indigo, violet. So your kids and adults, all of us, are actually rainbows of light within an individual form. So one of the key ways that we want to keep that lit, we want to boost that light again and stay away from anything that might dim it. And one of it goes back to what I was saying before about separating. And I'm sure you've heard this a million times. People tend to approach little kids, even as young as 2 or 3, and say, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And it's well-intentioned. They just want to strike up a conversation. But the question has such a hazard to it, because it conflates who your child is with what they do. And so even though I always believe it's best to let your kids answer for themselves, even if it's kind of unintelligible baby talk, let them answer, but not in that case. In that case, I highly recommend stepping right in, looking right at the adult and answering for them. And I have an answer that people can use. I've shared it many times, but I think it works really well. So when they say, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Answer right away, themselves. Mm. If you're asking what they want to do, they're a little young to know. And if you're asking me what I would consider to be success when they grow up, it's that they will become adults that have the courage to say yes. And these little people are listening to you. Even if they seem distracted, they're listening to every word. And so what they're hearing is, "Oh, I'm just supposed to be myself. And at some point, I'll be able to choose. I will choose what I do." And that to my parent or to the person that's with the child, it's that they deem courage to be saying yes to life. So in delinking who they are from what they do, it empowers them to have that free expression, empowers them to be the person driving their own little cars, like you were talking about before, those bodies, into action and into life. And but on the other hand, if who they are is what they do, all of a sudden that creates such a limitation, because now their identity is all wrapped into that, into the doing, into the things, into the stuff. And so trying, going for it, actually becomes too risky, because then what if they don't do well? What if they don't get the A, or they don't win the race, or they don't get the best job, or they don't get all the don'ts? All of a sudden their identity crumbles. And with it, going back to the courage question, that's what starts to undermine their courage a lot, because it's easier to sit back and not try then, because then you're safe. I'm safe. No one can tell me that I failed, or worse, that they'll think any stumble or perceived failure is a problem.
And so I would suggest, just to kind of end my statement, so I would suggest that when you're telling them to do something else instead of like jumping on the couch. I mean, instead of telling them to sit down on the couch, if you're identifying that their underlying need is a need for physical activity, I would be even more strategic in my direction, and I would kind of redirect them to something else that will meet that need. Exactly. Like, yeah, you know, a dance party, yeah, or
love, you know, that. Turn on the music.
Right. Yeah. Whatever it is possible for that moment. But you know, the question becomes, and this is where a lot of people, you know, people will comment and ask questions. So let's talk about it a little bit. How do you discern the issues of the underlying? Like, how do you know what the underlying issue is? You know, the underlying need, the underlying thing that's happening.
So going back to the empathy for a moment.
Okay.
So since the child knows, and you say, how would you feel? Then it's always really helpful to ask, because they did that action for a reason, right? Why did they push the kid down? You know, what happened there? Did the other person grab something from their hand? Did they jump it? So rather than just focus on that behavior adjustment or that feeling, like how would you have felt? So try not to do that. It's really, so what happened there? If you didn't see it, for some reason you didn't see what had happened, ask them, honor what happened in that situation so that you can then know what was underlying that behavior. And when it comes to the physical, I think you have to assume that your kids need physical activity every day. It was what I was saying in the beginning. If you don't get ahead and you don't plan, then they're just going to be wild. And they need to be wild. If you look at it, just a baby, how they're always like, they're pulling their legs and they're stiff shifting and doing, they're always moving. Their bodies are growing so fast. They have to move and their minds want to explore. That's why I don't know a lot of adults that climb up on the jungle gyms. Some do, they climb mountains, but the kids really have to, as you said, have to climb, have to explore, want to slide down, need all those feelings so they know what it feels like. And it's what you said, it's an absolute need. So you do your best to make sure you feed them, right? You need to add physical exercise. And in terms of other underlying issues, sometimes it has to do with what we were saying earlier, those doubts and those fears and worries. If you see a child being really anxious, it means they're afraid of something. Just start asking them, what's going on? You know, what are you feeling here? It goes back to trusting and honoring them. They have a reason, but they just might be having trouble expressing it. And if you make sure there's zero judgment, going back to the judgment word you used a while back, they need to know that they can tell you anything and everything. And if they spot any judgment, then they're all of a sudden going to recoil back, because it's back to that identity piece. Uh-oh, if my parent thinks I'm bad, but if they know, nope, back to that soul, that being you love unconditionally, who's doing something or feeling something, then they're going to trust you to share their whole lives. So when they hit teenage years, they'll still be willing to tell you things. And if they tell you something, it's like gulp, just try to help yourself. Yeah. And just keep seeing that soul being you love and work through those behaviors. And one way to build, going back to the very beginning, like those underlying confidence and courage, has to do with how we're defining, like, what are your wins? What is success? And I had a client who came to me because her daughter, from the time she was four, had wanted to be a singer. And then it turned out she was actually pretty good. But in high school, she just wouldn't sing. She wouldn't try out. She was too afraid of not being picked, too afraid of not getting solo, too afraid of not getting the part, because she had put everything into that. And truthfully, it's because the mom had put a lot into that. So I shared with her kind of a secret of how you can manage through that, which is count all your wins up to that last piece, because usually the last win is out of our control. You know, if you're running for an office, voters are going to decide. If you're, whatever you're doing in terms of a sport, a lot of it's out of your control. But if you put your hat in the ring, that's a win. Celebrate that win. How many people don't put their hat in the ring? Then prepare. Make sure that they're prepared. And so if they prepare, yahoo, celebrate win number two. You put your hat in the ring, you're prepared. Now, if you show up, that's another win. Because how many people put their hat in the ring, prepare, and they go, they're chicken out still because they're too afraid of the failure. So if you show up, that's win number three. And then if you do the best you can that day, even if it's like going, even for a test, the best you could do that day, not if you could have done better the day before, the next day or month from now, that day, that's your fourth win. So the last win, did you get picked? That's in someone else's hands. Don't put that on you. Someone else is making a decision. So since her daughter had always prepared and was always singing very loudly at home, but would get to chorus and be this little mouse voice, I told her to focus on that prepared part and help her to clock those other wins. She ended up trying out, getting solos, getting parts, and she went to music school for college, and that's her career.
Love it. What a great story. Tina searches for her dream. So Tina, in this, she tries a few different, you know, she starts with ballet and, you know, she does the soccer and baseball and basketball. You know, but I know a lot of people, their concern would be, you know, we started ballet, like you need to finish ballet, you need to stick it out in ballet, like you can't be a quitter. If I allow you to quit, then it's going to, you know, that might harm your confidence or make you think that you, you know, can't do it. Yeah. What would you say to that, you know, to that thought process?
That's such an important question. And you're right. Tina gives it her all. She doesn't just try a little bit and go, oh, can't do it. She tries her hardest. She gives it her all, but then realizes it's not her thing. So with each thing, she does try her hardest. Because it does take a lot of work. Even when she finds her thing, she has to train to be good at riding horses. So you're right. If a child wants to, if the child's been trying, and you think they're actually strong in that. Oh, that's the other thing though. We all have gifts. You know, one of the things about Tina is that I don't like the even term gifted in school because I like the idea of accelerate, accelerate. But everyone's gifted. The question is, what are your gifts that you have to explore and share with the world? And if you spend all your time focused on what's not your strength, then you're giving up a lot of energy towards really finding and accelerating into your strengths. So before age 9 in particular, I think kids should try as much as they can. And then you can really see what comes pretty naturally to them. And the signal for me is if someone says, oh, but that's easy. That's the signal that it's your talent. As it feels, you can become competent at anything you put enough energy and effort into, but a talent is what feels easy to you. So I do think it's important to check and make sure that your child isn't quitting for another reason. So you do need to ask, is, you know, for God forbid, are they being bullied in that activity? Or is something else going on that they're trying to run away from? Because I also don't think you should steer completely away from things that you aren't strong in, because that can, as you said, carry forward an insecurity. So back and fill what you aren't so strong at, but really focus and put your energy in what you are talented at. And as long as there isn't some, going back to the underlying, other underlying negative reason why they want to pull back and change, then it's actually a gift to let them shift and learn and try. It's like they're just trying different things on until they find, oh, this feels really good. This is what I'm strong and this is what I really want to pursue.
Yeah. Oh, that's really powerful. Actually, I have kind of this throwing this out there. Actually, I have one more question about, this is a question about you. What was your, just out of curiosity, what was your kind of, your origin story, you searching for your dream, because I, you know, being in a children's author is not necessarily what maybe everyone thinks about, you know, being when they grow up. And so I imagine it was, you know, maybe it's in kind of an unconventional career path, even with the coaching you're doing. Like, what, how did you find your thing, is my question.
Well, I always loved seeing people happy. And so even when I was very young, if I saw a child struggling to ride a bike and they just became more and more like internally collapsed and like doubting and feeling to the point where they would start getting a kind of aggressive, I would want to teach them how to ride the bike so that they were then happy riding their bike. And, or if, you know, my cousin wanted to be on the swim team and she needed to learn how to dive, otherwise she couldn't get on the team. So it was my thrill to teach her how to dive. And also just if someone feels, you can see the lights go out if someone is unhappy or feeling doubt. So I always got the greatest joy at helping people to overcome obstacles, because that's all they are. It's debris in the road. It's the debris of doubt or fear or anything that's in the road. I liked clearing the path so that they could just drive forward. So with the stories, I always loved communication. I always loved writing, and I love kids. So it was kind of a dormant love passion of mine that I got to then unpack now. And I think that's another important lesson. It's never too late to find your dream. It's never too late. Life, you know, until the last bell goes off, we're here experiencing and trying and going. And so I think everyone should be able to pivot. And that's another Tina point, because she had spent so much time on ballet. So many times people aren't where they are happy, but they've invested so much time, energy, resources that they think, how can I switch now? At this time in my life, I've been doing this for years. People are depending on me. So they feel all of a sudden stuck and trapped. But I want no one to feel stuck ever or trapped ever. There's always a door. There's always a window. You have to find it.
Yeah, that is so true. And I think it is never too late to really find your thing. And I think life is a long, you know, it's a long process for you know, most of us, as long as we, you know, obviously anything could happen on any day, but really looking at it, like it's, you know, maybe you did spend 5 years, but what's 5 years in the grand scheme of life expectancy of 80? And so, yeah, I think really, and you do have to taste. I really love this story, Nancy. I very, very much resonates with me of just, you have to kind of try and like taste different things to figure out like what is, you know, what is intrinsically motivating for you. And even with the trusting of yourself, of just knowing what that feels like. I really enjoy, like, this is my thing. And even people outside may not even necessarily, you know, no one can really know it as well as you. Other people may be able to give you suggestions to maybe try different things, but only you know, like, what that feels like to you when you do it. And, you know, we, and this goes back to our earliest conversation of like instilling confidence and courage, you know, people have to be able to trust that in themselves, so that they can, when they do find their thing, it's not something, oh, so-and-so always told me like I wasn't good at that, or like that's not me. Yeah. And so they never even try something that really could have lit their life or really created a whole nother meaning for their life, that creates that, you know, helps them feel more fulfilled and, you know, enjoy this whole journey that we're all on. And so I really love the book, Tina Searches for Her Dream. Y'all, you can find it. There are 3 different versions, with the main characters you mentioned earlier. different skin colors.
What's my name? What's my name?
What's